tinted glass. All right, gang, welcome back to Death Curse Society. We got another full episode for you. We got a lot to talk about here. I'm your host, Red Crank. I got the Colonel, and I got Zigzag.
For a while.
For a little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
Looks like Zigzag's wearing the new t-shirt design that is available online right now. If you have not checked it out.
Oh, yes. They do look good in black. Oh, yes.
Available at deathcursesociety.com. Don't forget to get your Smith's Grove School of Driving t-shirt. We solve the mystery of how did Michael Myers learn to drive. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and, of course, YouTube and Twitch. And before we get to any more ridiculousness, there's going to be some. Let's go camping.
We weren't doing anything. We were just messing around.
First up on Let's Go Camping, we're going to talk a little bit about the new Shudder release, The Banishing, which just dropped a couple of days ago. We had a chance to check it out. It's the story of the most haunted house in England. In the 1930s, a young reverend, his wife, and daughter move into a manor with a horrifying secret. Directed by Christopher Smith, this one had promise. But what happened? Ziggy, get us started on this.
Exactly. I'm going to let it out. I don't have many good things to say about this movie at all. Aesthetically, it's beautiful. It sets up something great that never happens. It just never comes. It's so fucking boring. I swear to Christ, it was hard to get through this, to stay focused watching this movie. I'm sorry, man. This one was not for me in any way, shape, or form. Gothic aesthetics aside, fuck, man. Way better ways to spend my time. Holy shit.
Story didn't interest you. Characters didn't interest you. Nothing.
There wasn't a payoff. There wasn't this. There was nothing. They rip off some other ghost stories, haunted house scenes, and it's not as good. You've seen it all before. And this is just a poor example of retelling a ghost story.
How about you, Colonel? Initial thoughts on The Banishing?
Zag pretty much stole the thunder. I'm just fucking with you, but he kind of did because it started off promising. It really did. I was like, okay, you got my attention. Man, there's times watching this movie, I totally zoned the fuck out, and I have to rewind it 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Okay, let me get caught back up in the story. And I zoned the fuck out again. It was like that meme was playing in my mind where the banishing's like, I wonder if he's thinking about other girls. I'm sitting there thinking about other fucking movies I'd rather be watching right now. I just could not keep my fucking attention. I was a million miles away. Looks great, though. I will give him credit for that. Looks good.
I like this, as you guys figured, but I think I did because it reminded me a lot of Mike Flanagan's work, especially Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor. It wasn't as great as those two, but I thought it was pretty good. Did Jessica Brown Findlay's performance hold the movie together with her character, Marianne?
She held together for me. I thought she was pretty easy on the eyes. That's about the only highlight from this movie I have. Did she act well? I don't know because I wasn't fucking paying attention. It was Charlie Brown. Womp, 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 womp.
It really lost both of you this badly?
I just didn't care. I mean, after 40 minutes, I was just like, it was torture sitting there. I mean, I was literally pulling my own hair out and shit and fucking picking a hole in my knee. I just couldn't get on with this, man. It just didn't work for me. And I can't tell you how well she acted. I agree with the Colonel the whole way. You couldn't stay locked in on him long enough to feel anything.
I disagree. I thought Findlay, you know, her being the focus of the film most of the time, I thought she held the attention pretty well throughout. Her acting is pretty damn good. I like the way her acting can reveal many secrets of their marriage with just a look, rather than having to spell it all out, even though they do kind of play it out later on. But those first couple of scenes with her and Linus tell a lot that there's some fucking baggage going on here and there's some problems between them. Nothing is said. It's just looks. And I thought that was very well done. You mentioned this. Did you, Ziggy, find this similar in tone and direction to Flanagan's The Haunting series?
This Christopher Smith definitely saw some Flanagan films coming up to being what he is here. And technically, I don't see any problem with the film aside just it's the storytelling here. If you're going to do a haunted house, you got to bring it a little bit, man. The subtle shit, blurry reflections. You get to something that we don't need to spoil it because, goddamn, I don't want to take it all away from this fucking thing. But you got to just do a little more for me.
How about you, Colonel? Did you notice some similarities between this and Flanagan's work?
Oh, dude, I noticed a lot. Even though I'll be honest, I have not seen Flanagan's Netflix Haunted House series that Crank ever so much loves. I wasn't paying enough attention to know if there was. I'm sorry. This one was tough, man. I finished it like a fucking trooper, but I forgot the movie fucking as soon as the credits started rolling, man. Like, I don't know. I tried. I finished it, but fuck. I did not want to. Here's how bored I got watching this movie, okay? Spoiler alert. It obviously takes place in the 30s. Lights are out. She's walking around with a fucking flashlight. I was like, man, but that's not even accurate for the time period. So I actually Googled that fucking flashlight. It was. Kudos. But that's how bored I was. I was like, was that the type of flashlight she used in 1932? Like, I fucking looked it up. So I didn't care about what was going on screen.
That says a lot right there, actually. So I appreciate that, Colonel. Even though I completely disagree with you, I appreciate your dedication to, I wonder if that flashlight's screen accurate.
You could find the art in grass growing, bro.
One of the things I found just kind of weird about this movie, though, is the fact that Finley, Jessica Brown Finley, looks almost identical to Flanagan's wife, Kate Siegel. Just found that just really, really strange. I thought it was a Flanagan film for a little bit, you know, that I just had missed. Here's something. Let's get into the story a little bit. Were the ties to the Nazis and fascism needed? Or was that just a weird trying to set the time kind of deal, Colonel?
It was fucking weird. It doesn't quite fit. I'm not exactly sure what year of the 30s this film took place in, but if it was the mid early 30s, let's be historically accurate here. Hitler didn't give a fuck about England at this point in time. He was trying to build up his army in fucking Germany, man. That's all he was concerned about. A little off, man. But now if it took place, like, say, 38, I think that's when the war kicked off. So I'd say 37. If that's the year it took place then, okay, well, I misunderstood. It fits. Okay. But if it took place in the early 30s, like I'm thinking, too soon.
Our resident historian, Colonel, right there, pulling the dates. I like that.
It was weird, but I do feel like that was the attempt to make it relevant to the time that it was happening. Historical accuracies aside, I didn't really go and check anything, but I do believe that was the attempt, was to make that relevant to the story because of the time period. That's all. You know, did they achieve it? I don't know. This movie did not work for me.
Well, maybe it wasn't that the Nazis were coming for Britain at this point in time, but people were starting to worry in Britain, and they were like, you know, hey, have you read this? And the newsreels would still be playing about what was going on in Germany with Hitler and everything. And maybe it still is early 30s, but watching the warnings as they come, would that help you, Colonel, historically?
I guess. I can't remember what year it was, but Hitler was Time's Man of the Year before people realized, and, you know, he was pretty open about how crazy he was. Mm-hmm. But it still blows my mind that he got Man of the Year now when he's talking about fucking, you know, blaming the Jews and genocide, all that. Granted, he had a good PR team behind him. Obviously, we all know England was kind of worried, so was France. Watching him during this time, like, uh-oh. But, yeah, of course, they never acted until he forced them to. But this isn't a fucking history lesson. We're talking about a horror movie. So, sure, why not? It wouldn't make more sense. I'm going to keep going on. I'll be like fucking History Channel over here. I got to stop.
Ancient Aliens, baby.
I do watch Ancient Aliens.
You do. This is billed one of the best haunted house films certain reviewers have seen. Ziggy, is this one of the best haunted house films you've seen?
Aesthetically, very, very good. And I'll leave it at that. That's all I got.
You don't want to trash it anymore?
No, I've said enough. I don't, you know, let me be clear. I don't like to get out here and shit on other people's hard work. Obviously, some hard work went in on this. This fucker just didn't work for me. Everybody else should watch it and see for themselves. I'll go with that just to kind of pad it a little bit, because I was a little harsh on it. I agree. Seeing more movies than I've ever seen in my life. So I guess I'm getting a little bit, I know what I like and this ain't it kind of thing.
How about you, Colonel? One of the best haunted house movies you've seen in a while?
Seriously?
I got to ask.
I know you got to ask. Of course it wasn't. It didn't keep my fucking attention. Granted, like I say, I don't think I'm shitting on it. I'm giving an honest review here. Like Zach said, we've been watching so many movies. We've known this for so long. It's like me and Zach are coming to Siskel and Ebert of War, where we must shit on everything. But, dude, no, this isn't the best haunted house I've seen in years. I mean, maybe a recent history. I don't fucking know. But it still wasn't good. If this is the best, wow, we're in trouble.
See, I like haunted house flicks, you know? So
yeah, I this too, one, but
I wouldn't necessarily consider this one of the best, like, overall. Maybe in the last few years, sure. I would say it's one of the better ones, at least. Probably my favorite haunted house kind of movie that I've seen in the last 20 years was the miniseries of Stephen King's Rose Red. I like that one a lot, as well as Haunting of Hill House. I thought that was very well done. This is similar in theme, tone, style, so I dug it a lot. Do we have anything else to add on it? Do I have your attention yet?
Huh?
Yeah, okay. Just making sure you're still here. Nothing else to add on this. Let's get to a rating. Colonel, kick us off.
Again, I'm going to start off with a positive. The movie looked great. It sounded great. The acting wasn't even bad. Just that the story was. So that being said, this is probably a lower score than it probably deserves. I'm going to give it a 3.5 just because it did not hold my attention. That being said, watch it. Because opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one. Take Crank, for example. I'm pretty sure he gave it a high score. I don't even know what it is yet. Dude, you can't see your own asshole once you've got a mirror, okay?
Oh, okay. I was just looking. Sorry.
I don't want you to hurt your neck. Careful.
The trailer made me want to watch this. I really wanted to get on it. I was excited and, again, had me out the gate. I shouldn't have to concentrate that hard. Like it was like I was watching a fucking training video or something. It just did not work. It was hard. It was an effort to pay attention to this movie. That's not what I do to go to a movie. Having said that, aesthetically, it does look like a good haunted house. The gothic, they got that nailed. It's all there. Story-wise, man, it's just nothing to me. It was just nothing ever happened. Nothing of substance that made me go, Forgettable upon completion. I give it a 3.
Wow. We all expect us to differ in opinion from time to time. There are very few moments where we all agree. This is not one of those times. I dug this, man. I thought the acting was superb. I thought the casting was pretty good. You guys have both said the look of the film is just excellent. The creepiness of it is good, even though there aren't a whole lot of real scares, but there's some really creepy shit going on in there from time to time. And I dig that. I like a film where it digs in a little bit and you almost have to force yourself to pay attention to what's going on. So I dig that. I like a challenge. That's just where we differ on this. I'm going to give this a 7, man. I really liked it. You guys know I love this kind of shit. This is right up my alley.
I ain't saying you're wrong.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong either. I'm just making fun of it because me and Zach already knew you were going to grade this high. And we didn't even talk about this beforehand. Yeah. We just knew as soon as you brought this movie up, this first discussion, we're like,
yeah,
he's like ESP. Like, yeah, he's going to like it.
Oh, I know. And I could tell that you guys were going to hate it. As soon as I started watching it, I was just like, fuck, these guys are going to hate this shit. The Banishing, it's available on Shudder right now. Please go check it out. Come back and let us know what you thought of it in the comments below. We'd love to talk to you a little bit more about it. Am I right? Is it decent? Is it worth the watch? Or is Ziggy and the Colonel correct that it's just boring as fuck, unwatchable, hard to keep your attention? Choose sides. I demand it.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Monday Maniacs from Death Curse Society. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stick around.
The Death Curse Society has just become an associate producer on the film.
Yes.
Woo! Bravo. Woo! Bravo. Death Curse Society, guys, is so awesome. I met the guys, all three of the guys, at Indianapolis last year for Horror Hound. And I met those dudes, and I got to tell you, like, I hung out with them. We took pictures. I signed some stuff. They gave me a T-shirt. It was awesome. They are awesome guys. So super cool. I am so glad to have them on board this campaign and also on board the film. And now they are going to be IMDb credited as producers on this movie.
Awesome.
Everybody's on social media these days. Well, Death Curse Society is too. Look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And also, don't forget to look for us on YouTube. We drop videos on there all the damn time, and you don't want to miss it. It's good stuff. Death Curse Society. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Woo!
Angela, are you all right?
Hey, I'm Felissa Rose Angela from Sleepaway Camp, and you're watching Death Curse Society. Yeah!
Hey, gang, welcome back to Death Curse Society. We got a lot to talk about here. We're going to chop it up and serve it to you in little itty bitty bites that we like to call stories around the campfire.
I don't want to scare anyone, but I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason.
Hey, come back. First up on Stories Around the Campfire, we got a chance to review the new movie available on video on demand right now, Jacob's Wife, starring the one and only Barbara Crampton. Bodies start to pile up when a woman discovers a new sense of power and an appetite to live bigger and bolder than ever before. Man, oh man. Colonel, you want to start us off on this one?
Of course. As everybody knows, my infatuation with Barbara Crampton knows no bounds. So much so that if I was to make this movie, it would have been called Colonel's Wife. I would have starred as the husband. The only difference is I wouldn't have been old school. Because, to be honest, that's pretty much what this movie boils down to, the patriarchy that everybody's trying to crashing down now. Mm-hmm. And but I really dug that about this story, because it also wasn't so much of a man-hating film as some of the other ones we've seen. And now that we have the foundation laid, let's build up. It turned out to be a pretty good vampire movie. Mm-hmm. It had some lulls in it, you know, some hills and valleys. But overall, it was a good movie. I have very few complaints. Really, the only main complaint I have is the main vampire. It's like, what direction are they going with this guy on the look?
It was a woman.
Oh, there you go. See, I didn't even fucking know. That's how woke I am. I don't see gender. at the end of the day, a little bit of spoiler alert, and I'll shut up on my initial thoughts. The vampire looked like if Nosferatu and Mr. Barlow had a baby, and this is what we get.
Do vampires have babies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they, you know, an evil stork comes by in the middle of the night, drops it off. You guys don't know this story?
I'm just going to stop you right now. Ziggy, how about you? Initial thoughts on Jacob's Wife?
I was just morbidly curious to see where he was going to go with that, but it's
no, cool. I'm not. We don't not really know where that story ends.
We don't need the hard R on this show. I get it, man. I didn't know what to expect. Reading that synopsis doesn't mention vampires at all, so takes a little while to get to that. They're fun jabs at the traditional standing, how a man, the Patreon, and this, the submissive woman. There's just fun jabs at it. It's not like in your face and trying to tell you like this. And it's good. Barbara Crampton is still got it. As Colonel said, there are some pits and valleys, but there's some great laughs in it. There's some great horror and gore in this.
Mm-hmm.
You get an ending that's kind of funny and tongue in cheek. And this is an entertaining film. I found it to be worth my time. I enjoyed it.
Domestic dispute, nonviolent.
Yeah, CM Punk is in this too, by the way.
That's another thing. I was watching, I was like, is that CM Punk? No. Oh, that is!
The deputy?
Bill Brooks, his real name.
Man, I tell you what a pleasant surprise this was. I didn't know what to expect when I started this movie. I hadn't seen the trailer. We hadn't talked about it at all. It kind of flew under our radar somehow, even though Barbara Crampton was in it. Colonel mentioned it kind of last minute. We threw it on there. I watched it, and holy shit, I think that made me, the fact that I didn't know anything about it, maybe made me appreciate this a little bit more. It's a dark, 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 dark comedy.
That comedy's not always there, though.
No, but there's some laughs in this that you're just kind of like, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but it's funny. This definitely brings the gore almost to the point in some cases where it's at a ridiculous level. And I know you guys appreciate that, but it works. And Barbara Crampton, I know you guys mentioned her acting and everything. She was also a producer on this. I didn't know if you noticed that. She's still great and weird. And her little, there's some moments where she just has these little tics that you're not quite sure why they're there, but they work for her. Can you add any more to Barbara Crampton's performance, Ziggy?
She really, literally does it all that you would expect in any horror trope type movie. She does it all. She does it all. It's good, though. It's really good. She carries this fucking movie, man. There were times, like, my score was adjusting as I was watching it. I was like, and then I would get the payoff to why they were doing what they were doing. And they won me over in the end, for sure.
Yeah.
So, but she definitely is great in this, and I love the character. I liked it. I really liked it.
I love the fact that she was able to do such a strong transformation from the doting, you know, submissive wife, you know, standing next to the preacher while he's greeting everyone as they leave the church and everything, to the couch carrying just badass woman that she became after she had been changed. I thought that was great. Colonel, did you appreciate that transformation and her acting ability with it?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, you pretty much summed it up perfectly. It's like, you know, we're first introduced to her character again, it's a very subdued, quiet housewife, and she goes through the change. And what's amazing, I mean, they didn't point out in the film, but I really like, is it's just the drastic change in her character altogether, the way she acts, her hair, her fashion. Totally different woman, you know, two-thirds of this movie through. And I really enjoyed seeing her. She's enjoying her freedom, but she loves her husband. And, you know, and then by the time Act 3 comes.
Yeah. I don't want to give any of this away. Another thing I thought that was kind of neat about this was it's refreshing to see a story about a new vampire that isn't a love-struck teenager. I think that helped me appreciate this even a little bit more. Fuck you, Twilight. Colonel, did that make a difference to you at all? I mean, was it weird seeing like an older woman, you know, middle-aged woman being turned into a vampire?
To me, it wasn't weird because I understand, you know, the common trope for vampire movies. It is usually younger people, not people, you know, middle-aged. Mm-hmm. But the joy for me about a vampire movie is anybody could be a vampire. So that's not something I necessarily latch to when I'm watching these vampire movies. Well, yes, I do realize this. It didn't really hinder how I was going to take this movie. It was just, okay, we got a vampire movie. Let's go. Because let's not forget, the first victim in this movie is a teenage girl.
Right.
But obviously, she's just a minor character. It just kind of drives the plot along for a little bit, but it really didn't affect me. I just like a good vampire movie, man. I don't care. It could be geriatrics at a fucking nursing home. I'd still watch it.
I was trying to describe this to somebody because there was a song in this movie, Bloodletting by Concrete Blonde, that was redone by someone that goes by the name of I Speak Machine. I think her name is Tara Bush, and she did a remake of Bloodletting. And I was telling somebody about the song, and they were like, oh, what movie is it in? And I said, oh, it's Jacob's Wife. It's about a preacher's wife that becomes a vampire. And she was like, and she messaged back asking, you know, like a young preacher's wife. I was like, no, an old preacher's wife. She was like, that's odd. I haven't seen an old lady vampire in a while. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen an old lady vampire. So Ziggy, did that throw you off a little bit at all? Or was that a refreshing look?
No, once you are cued in that that's what's going on is vampirism, then it's like, oh yeah, and it's fine. But what I did appreciate were the modern additions to old vampire lore and legend. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Times that they did stuff like that, you know. So I mean, they did some really neat things with the vampire material in this, hands down.
Right. I mean, sunlight wasn't necessarily that much of a danger, but ultraviolet light, yes, which I don't want to get into really, but
right.
You'll see it. It's pretty fucking cool.
Cool.
The gore, the effects, holy shit, buckets and buckets of blood. I know you guys love this shit. Like I said earlier, almost to ridiculous levels at times. Ziggy, lay it on us. What'd you think?
Yeah, man. That's the kind of blood splashing I like to see when a head is ripped off. Like I was, you know, when we had a witness infection, that would have complimented that scene just that much more. Just another cherry on top. I don't want to go back to that again, but there is some top-notch use of the blood splatter in this movie. There's no CGI here, folks. This is the wet stuff.
Most of it is practical. There was some CGI at the very end with that, but I don't want to get into it.
Right. But it's visually, it's great and much, much appreciated by the Colonel and myself. I'll speak for him on this. You absolutely beefed up your score with me for the gore for this. Absolutely.
Colonel, don't let him speak for you. You're your own man. Tell me what you thought of the gore.
Oh, let me tell you about that gore, man. Oh, so refreshing to finally get practical effects, stage blood out the ass. Now, you call it a ridiculous amount of gore at times? I don't think so. If I think ridiculous gore, I always think of a little independent film called The Evil Dead. That is way more ridiculous and gore than this, while still so, so beautiful. I love it. But, man, like Zag said, you know, you got, you know, people popping fucking heads off like fucking pop cans. I fucking loved it, man. I got a hard-on for this one. But, you know, hard-ons aside, the fucking gore was fantastic. I loved it. It just, nothing is better than fucking practical effects and stage blood and lots of stage blood. Oh, it was marvelous.
That was my putting my heart on aside. And I know this pleased the Colonel as well. He already kind of briefly mentioned a nip of it. And yes, I said nip because Barbara Crampton shows a little breast in this. At least her good one. Because she only whips one out. Colonel, did you like that?
Oh, fuck yeah, I appreciated it. She still got it, man. Gravity hasn't grabbed hold of them suckers yet. So it looked like I was watching, I had a flashback to fucking Reanimator, man. I was like, Nah, I applaud her. Good for you, Barbara. You know, you don't have to do that anymore. What are you doing?
Let me bring that back.
Yeah, you bring that back and you get that shit going on the fucking meter. All right. I was, again, not necessary. I really didn't need it. I applaud her for still doing it. She don't have to. She's beyond that. She's
exactly. That's kind of my thinking is, you know, you think many actresses, once they get past a certain age, don't want to do that, don't have to do that. A lot of times aren't even asked for it. But she's a producer on this. I think she wanted to do it to show the level of that scene. Ziggy, did it work for you?
Did you say tits?
I did not say tits, but we can say tits.
Or tit. No. You can say, technically, hold on, time out. Technically, you can say two tit. You can say tits. Because there's a nipple shot in the bathtub through the soap, the bubbles.
That is true.
That's true. That's a set.
And then you get the other tit in the scene we're talking about. So, yes, you do see tits.
That is the other side. And I thought that, too, in the bathtub. I was like, oh, you know, there it is. I go, well, there. I would have been satisfied with that. And then, lo and behold, here she is fornicating with a minister. And, bam, it's out. And she looks great. Barbara looks great and much appreciated. Thank you. And shit, it's a horror movie. In every horror movie, some boob must fall, okay? It's just, this is the rules. This is the rule. We don't make...
But normally it's some, you know, scantily clad teenager that's traipsing through the woods, not a 50, 60-year-old minister's wife.
Sometimes legends forego the rules. Damn it. We're thankful for that.
Fair enough. All right. We ready to rate this? Ziggy, why don't you start us on a kernel scale, like 0 to 10, somewhere in there.
This was the opposite. This one started out and I was kind of like, oh boy, this doesn't look so good. It looks like it's going to play like a serious movie. And then it goes all over the place, but in a good way. Yeah, Jacob's wife, I'll have to say, I'm going to just go below, man. I'm going to give it a 6.5.
How about you, Colonel?
This movie was practically everything I thought I was going to get in a good way. I mean, I kind of went in blind, but I had a feeling like I really think I'm going to like this movie. So when the spot opened up, I took my chance and threw this up. Jacob's wife, we got to watch this. Yeah. Because I was really looking forward to this. Didn't let me down. They even got, you know, one extra surprise I wasn't expecting. Gore out the fucking ass. If I'm going to do, I don't want to do the scale, but I'll fucking do it. My arm don't look good like that. That's unnatural, but I'll give it a 7. It was really enjoyable. I really like this movie.
This got a little bit more ridiculous just the talking about this movie than I expected it to. Like I said, this was a pleasant surprise. I did not see this coming. I did not know anything about this movie. And not knowing was half the battle, I think, in this. Unlike what G.I. Joe used to say. Fuck G.I. Joe. So, man, welcome back, Barbara Crampton. We haven't seen her in a while. I haven't, at least. I'm glad she was able to find the script and produce this film and star in it. I'm going to go with a 7 as well on this one.
How come me and Zach had to do the dick meter? He didn't.
7.
Thank you.
Jacob's Wife. It's available on video on demand right now. Go and rent it. I actually bought this one just hoping it would be good.
Well,
and it delivered.
Dude, it was $8 to rent it. 7 on YouTube to rent it, or 5 to own it, standard definition. You know, this wasn't the type of movie where you need the HD, 4K, so fuck it. I bought the $5 version, it was fine. So yeah, I own it too.
I bought the $10 version, so it's stuck in my Vudu account now. Yep, I may watch that again. Go check it out, let us know what you think in the comments below. Woo!
Woo!
Hey gang, welcome back to Death Curse Society. We've got some more stories around the campfire.
Amanda!
Another Shudder exclusive that we got to check out and we're going to review for you right now is called The Power. Set in London in 1974, as Britain prepares for electrical blackouts to sweep across the country, trainee nurse Val arrives for her first day at the crumbling East London Royal Infirmary. With most of the patients and staff evacuated to another hospital, Val is forced to work the night shift in the empty building. Within these walls lies a deadly secret, forcing Val to face her own traumatic past in order to confront the malevolent force that's intent on destroying everything around her. Interesting setup, but does it pay off? Colonel, get us started on this one.
The Power. Man, I thought this movie was going to be fucking great. First thoughts after viewing, meh. I mean, for one, it's not abandoned. I mean, there's a handful of people in there. Not a lot. There's still a few. Very predictable. I didn't even read the synopsis going into it, honestly. I just watched it because I was like, I'm pumped. Like, this one looked good. This looked like a good ghost movie, man. And I was let down in so many ways.
How about you, Ziggy? Initial thoughts on The Power.
I hate it when you can sum up a movie in a word. Meh. But it's kind of what it is here. However, if you've ever worked in a place like a library or in a big factory or something at night, you were like one of the few skeleton crew people. There is something to be said for that, because there's a whole lot of walking around dark hallways and basements in this movie, which actually is quite effective.
Mm-hmm.
But the payoffs are not very good here, and meh.
the setup for this, another period piece placed in 1974, London, during a coal miner strike, which causes blackouts all over the country. You have a hospital, leaving that in the dark. How has this not been done before? You know, what's not to like about that? It's a perfect fucking setup for a horror film. This film sets a good atmosphere with the set and direction. I thought technical aspects of it worked very well. Story-wise, there's some weak spots there. Ziggy, you want to talk about some of the story and the weak spots in that?
I do believe there's some heavy underlining messages in there that they're bringing out. There's good moments in it, man, but just some of the things they do. The thing with the little girl, you know, that's like the interactions with the staff that are on site. It doesn't give much to the story to where you end up. That's, I guess, the best way I can put it without saying too much.
Okay, so maybe not enough story for an hour and a half long film. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, they probably could have wrapped. This could have been like a 1 hour movie. It would have probably improved it quite a bit because you can only ride that tension of walking in them dark hallways for so long before something's got to break out that takes you to the next step.
The weakest spot for me was, granted, we all know these paranormal movies are so predictable. For me, though, this one was very predictable. It's just by the way they set everything up. I mean, I'm with Crank. It was a great setup. It was great. It had all the makings to be really good. It's just like they had the perfect location and not the perfect story. I really appreciate how, you know, our main character, she's getting pulled in hallways, or there's this one scene where the back of her dress is getting lifted up. And right there, I'm like, okay, she's going to get possessed and it's going to be a ghost saying how it got raped. Boom. That's a spoiler alert. There you go. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to spoil this one right on the fucking nose. I should have said spoiler. I should have gave you advance notice. I wasn't thinking. That's such a great location, and the setup was just so predictable. I really think they dropped the ball. Now, well, I'd be upset if someone said, okay, we'll go back to 1974 England, rolling blackouts, we're in this hospital, and make it a true paranormal film, non-possession. This would probably get two thumbs up for me, because I think, oh, such a good idea. They just didn't do a good job with it.
The story, it has a few twists that kept me interested, but there was one scene that I thought, near the end, that seemed too cliche. Pretty sure you know what I'm talking about, but I will say it. The final possession. That hurt this movie for me a lot in the score. So up until then, I was in. I was ready. Colonel, did that affect you as much as it did me?
Oh, God, yes. Now, I'll be honest, I probably wasn't enjoying this movie as much as you were up to this point. But, you know, it had my attention. And, you know, I bought into the story. It's just like Vince even leading up to it. And you had your bitch nurse who's been there for a while. And then it's like, okay, I should get a change of heart once the lights came back on. I don't know. Maybe she's just having a bad day. Like Crank said, the final possession scene. I could recreate that motherfucker with a fucking lamp. All right. That's where I was just like, oh.
Yeah. It was too much The Exorcist, like, take me, take me, you know, at that point. And that bothered me.
It was bad.
Yeah. Ziggy, what were your thoughts on that?
This is an example of when you didn't need to get that on-the-nose finish like that, because you already figured it out. You just don't need these things explained to you like a simpleton. You know, I mean, then that's what they did. They went and took it like you couldn't have figured out any of this on your own and just batted you over the head with the obvious. After all this and everything we've shown you here, you still haven't figured it out. Well, we're ripping off The Exorcist. Sorry.
Just for a little bit.
One key plot moment. That's right. All.
What happens after that, I liked. Mm. What happened before that, I liked. But that just her asking for it irritated me. I don't know why. Well, no, I do know why. Because it shouldn't have been done. It should have just happened naturally. And not her asking for it. That definitely took at least one full point of my score for this one. Because up until then, I was digging this flick. I kind of liked the ending without saying too much. And the way they tied the whole story together, I did. I know it was kind of weak, but I liked it. Although it was an obvious mystery, they do solve the mystery that's lurking in the shadows. And I liked the way they kind of wrapped it up for as weak of a story as it was. One other thing I want to talk about was the sound design in this was creepy as fuck. just one example I'll use is every time they're in the intensive care area, the ICU, you can hear just very understated the breathing machines, you know, going on in the background. And sometimes they're in sync, sometimes they're not. It's just fucking creepy, man. Did that latch onto you guys as well, Ziggy?
That was good, but what was cool in that realm for me was the red light near the generators. Mm-hmm. Every time she walked by there, those hallways, that shit was fucked up, dude. I mean, there was nothing going on, and it was scary as hell.
I can't really get out specifics, but I thought the score played well to the film. It really built the tension and the sense of dread and fear. I mean, they did a great job.
I'll say this, too. I agree. This soundtrack, I mean, I just talked about a quick scene where you could hear the whirring of the generators when she walks by, but there's this ominous red light pops on like every 3 seconds. Musically, this movie, it was refreshing to hear something that wasn't a blatant ripoff of Carpenter or, you know, borrowed a little bit from Elfman or something like that. It's straight up original, and it fits this piece beautifully.
One last thing I want to talk about with this was Rose Williams, the actress who plays Val. Dude, I don't know what it was. Maybe it's the nurse outfit. There's just something I loved about her and her character and the way she pulled this off. Timid, yes. Trying to conform with the way she's supposed to be at this hospital as the first dayer, also spreading her wings a little bit whenever she's encouraged to. There was just something about her character that just really caught me. Did you feel that at all, Colonel, or was it just, eh?
It's just, man. I mean, I'm not going to say she did a bad job. She did a good job. I think she did great. I think maybe for me, the character is a little too naive, if that makes sense, for me to really want to latch on to her as a character and see where she went on this journey. I was just kind of like, oh, well, fuck you. You get possessed. You get possessed. And she just,
Yeah, she was good. We write a story where actually the character is relevant and you can stay focused in on without fucking any effort. Then absolutely. She kept it captivated. She kept it going. And you were on her a lot. Like I said, lots of walking around in the dark. She's kind of hearing things and feeling things and wind and stuff and reacting to it. And it's cool. This is good. This is how it should be done.
Well, maybe part of it for me, at least, is, you know, we've seen a lot of movies lately that rely heavily on one actor or one actress. Most of the time lately, it's been one actress. You know, The Banishing earlier that we reviewed strongly relied on Jessica Brown Findlay. The Stylist that we watched a few weeks ago relied heavily on a central one primary female character. Several other movies, Nightmare Wakes, several other movies. This one, to me, really delivered it with this actress. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just being acclimated because we're watching so many horror films that feature female leads heavily. I dug Rose Williams' performance in this. I'll leave it at that. All right, time to give it a number. Colonel, rate The Power.
You want a number, you son of a bitch, you get the number. I don't know why I went like that, but fuck it, it doesn't matter.
Hey.
The Power. Hey, forget about it. I don't even know what fucking voice I'm doing. I don't care. So The Power was, you know, a fairly enjoyable movie. I followed along. I didn't zone out and Google. Everything was fucking accurate to the time. It just very predictable. The predictability there kind of ruined the ending for me, where it's just kind of meh. And overall, I think the movie was just meh. That being said, I'd still probably give it about a 5.5. It was a little better than average. Wouldn't strongly suggest it, but it's a possession movie. It's entertaining. Give it a watch.
Can't really say it better myself. If you're into possession type movies, you'll probably find enough in this to where you'll be entertained and you'll dig it. I myself, in the same as Colonel, I found it a little bit predictable and just above average, man. I got to stay with the same score, 5.5.
Well, like I said, the cliche Exorcist ripoff near the end did hurt its score on this one. But up until that point, and even afterwards, I liked this movie. Originally, I gave this a higher rating. I need to drop it a little bit, and I'm not much, but it's going to be a 6.5 from me. I love shit like this, and you guys know this. I like the thinking, weird, deep intention movies. They hit me a little bit differently. Yeah, The Power. It's available on Shudder now. Go check it out. Let us know what you think, and come back, and let's talk about it.
I'll be right back. Don't get dressed.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, holy.
Thanks for tuning in to the official Death Curse Society podcast, gang. Did you know we also have a website? Well, God damn it, we do. DeathCurseSociety.com. Get over there. Check it out. Look at all the stuff we've got. We've got all our YouTube episodes on there. We've got a membership program. We've got our store. You can buy some cool-ass shit. So get over there, DeathCurseSociety.com, and check it out. Woo!
Welcome back to Death Curse Society. It's time to look at a couple of trailers. That must mean we've got some stories around the campfire.
I don't want to scare anyone. But I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason.
Hey, come back! Oh,
so, we checked out the trailer for Army of the Dead, coming to Netflix on May 21st. Interesting. After a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas, a group of mercenaries takes the ultimate gamble by venturing into the quarantine zone for the greatest heist ever. Director Zack Snyder, high off of the Snyder cut of the Justice League or whatever the fuck he did not too long ago. Are you guys ready for this one, Ziggy?
You know, I'm a fan of the Dawn of the Dead remake, helmed by the very same Zack Snyder. And so I was like, all right, this should be pretty good. We already know he knows zombies. These are smart zombies that are fast and limber. I mean, they were dodging and counterpunching and riding motorcycles. I mean, I don't know, man. Kind of put me off a bit. It's a bit much for the hardcore zombie army out there. I'm just saying, as us, the fans, to take in, you know, smart zombies that do all that kind of shit, kind of crossing into the realm of other than zombie, aren't we?
That's what I was getting. Is it a combination of something? I don't know. Now, we all know the Colonel hates running zombies. So this is right up your alley, right, Colonel?
Running zombies. That's my fucking bread and butter, baby. You guys know I was born to talk about this. The glasses are coming off.
What?
Because this is bullshit. God damn it. I know it's Zack Snyder, and damn it, he did an okay job with Dawn of the Dead remake, even though they had running zombies. So I wasn't surprised to see running zombies in this bullshit. Oh, they're scarier, blah, blah, blah. Fuck you. No, they're not. Okay? I mean, I know I'm probably being too, think it's too literal, but if you're fucking dead, eventually you're going to slow down. These motherfuckers do not. And like Zach said, they're fucking dodging, docking, fucking uppercuts, docking. I don't know what the fuck docking is because I'm pissed. Because two words, zombie tiger, get the fuck out of here. There's only one way I'm going to enjoy this movie. It's like, this movie is based on a fucking video game that does not exist because it's the only way you can make this stupid shit. Come on, man. Zack Snyder, dude, I love 300. Fucking awesome film. But God damn it, I gotta watch an hour and a half of running fucking zombies that are fucking showing affection towards each other and all this other bullshit. Now, this being said, I was pretty harsh on the late George Romero, rest in peace, when I saw Land of the Dead and they were communicating. That's when I was like, oh my God. Hindsight being 2020, what the fuck was I being so hard on old George for? That's not that bad compared to this bullshit. It better be fucking entertaining. It better be fun. I think it's gonna be fun, but God damn it. Do not correct me on this. This is based on the video game called Army of the Dead because that's the only way in this is going to make fucking sense to me. And that's all I got to say about that.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Colonel.
When the glasses come off, you know the rant is going to be spectacular. Colonel, let me ask you a question, though, about that, about something you said.
You ready?
No, you can leave them on. You can leave them on. Right. I mean, it's about the same topic, but you don't have to get so irritated. I just want to know logistically, why don't zombies run? Why shouldn't zombies be able to run?
Because they're reanimated corpses, okay? I know, getting technical, rigor mortis does set in. So I got to ignore the fact these motherfuckers aren't going to have rigor mortis because they're walking dead. But they're deteriorating. They're not going to be able to deteriorate and still run fucking 20 miles an hour and catch a fucking bomb from fucking Tom Brady or some bullshit. No, that is not realistic. I know, I'm complaining about realism in a fucking zombie movie. But fuck, man. And besides, the slow ones are scarier. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, you can't outrun the fast ones, but you can run right by the slow ones. Yeah, but you have to stop. They don't. It's like death itself. Your death is inevitable. It's coming. You just don't know when. It's slowly but surely going to fucking grab you by the ass and take you down.
Fair enough. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I was just curious. I wanted your reasonings because we've talked about this multiple times with movies that have running zombies. We've never really gotten down to the nitty-gritty about why you don't like them. Ziggy, do you agree with him?
Yeah, you know, obviously I'm a purist of the classic stuff. I don't really have a problem. They don't drive me up a wall as much as him. 28 days later, I can understand. I can get behind a fucking virus causing it because they're still kind of fresh. Now, you're crawling out of the grave. I expect you to be a little bit stiff and a little bit, you know, draggy. As you lay around and decay, mobility is going to deteriorate fast. Like half-life. It's going to happen. Hopefully there'll be variants in this. It is a flashy, quick-cut trailer, so maybe there's more to it. What does come to mind is the video game Dead Rising, which is in Vegas, a facsimile of Vegas. But those zombies were slow in that game. They did not run at all. It was just a lot of them. The concept is strong. It's Dave Bautista as the lead. I don't know about all that. Another wrestler trying to break in and be the star. I'm excited to watch it still. Because I do think it's going to be entertaining. I don't know. It just seems like it's going to be less of a zombie movie and more of an action movie. That's my prognosis on this.
That's why it's based on the video game Army of the Dead. That's why this all makes sense now.
The casting looks sketchy. And you just brought it up. The fact that Bautista is your lead, that makes me worry so much that this is going to be just bad. And then Colonel mentioned it in his glasses off rant, but I have to bring it up. The tiger, a zombie tiger.
We're playing this other video game right now. There's a zombie shark. Okay. And it's quite cool. So I can't rule it out. It does seem a bit corny, heavy, obvious CGI on it, but I'll give it a chance. I'm going to give this whole movie a chance before I shit on anything, because who knows? Maybe it'll be one of the better things offered this year. I don't see how, but we're going to find out. We're going to figure it out. It's what, a Netflix exclusive. So shit, there's going to be some money behind it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks like it's got money behind it. Just maybe not in the casting, but in the effects and the sets and action sequences. Absolutely. It's got money behind it. Have we seen other movies that feature zombie animals much, Colonel?
Yeah, off the top of my head, Resident Evil.
Okay.
And this is based on the video game, which had zombie dogs in it. In Resident Evil 2, you get zombie dogs.
Okay.
Where's Return of the Living Dead, the reanimated half a dog. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's happened. That's why this one, again, as long as I keep telling myself it's based on the video game, I can live with a zombie tiger. Because it's been done before. But fuck, man, if the master himself, George Romero, doesn't want fucking zombie animals don't count unless it's based on a video game.
Okay.
It is in Vegas, and there used to be a lion act that had white lions and white tigers like that. So,
but they're not there anymore.
I know. But, I mean, that in this world that we're going to be visiting, perhaps this is why they are there. That's all I could think of.
There's a new Siegfried and Roy that's invaded Vegas in this timeline or whatever. But
we did see zombie Elvis in the trailer. A zombie Siegfried and Roy. Why not?
I fully expected to see a zombie Elvis as soon as I knew this was taking place in Vegas. I had to see a zombie Elvis.
Yep.
I'm okay with that.
You know what I want out of this? And I'm being half-ass serious on this, but not a lot. Man, I know magic's fake, but goddamn, for whatever reason, I used to watch that Chris Angel show, Mind Freak, like a motherfucker when it first came out. That was in my stoner days. I mean, I had assistants enjoying that. But how awesome would it be seeing this motherfucker walking on top of these zombies, like floating above the sky, like out, just a little cameo. And he's like, Mind Freak. Something stupid. I'm like, ha, that's awesome.
Somehow I do expect, based on, you know, you remember Dawn of the Dead, they had a whole fucking scene where they had the sharpshooter sitting over there. They were going, Jay Leno, you know, and that was pretty cool. So I know he's got a sense of humor with this stuff.
Right.
That's why I'm going to ride on his pedigree of Dawn of the Dead and hope that he improved on it and delivered something original that is entertaining. That's all we can hope for.
I see this being one of those movies that everybody likes and I'm just meh about it. Kind of Godzilla versus Kong. Like, I have a bad feeling this is going to be one of those kind of movies. And, you know, okay, whatever. I'll watch it, obviously. So, are you guys excited for it? Not you two, but are you guys excited for Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead? It comes out on Netflix May 21st. So let us know what you think about it, and we'll check it out here in a couple of weeks. Oh, good. You're all here. Now we can start. It's time for some more stories around the campfire.
Where else would I be?
Not you.
Oh.
So, we've seen the trailer for the new movie, Benny Loves You, coming to video on demand on May 7th. Jack is desperately trying for a new start in life, but when he throws away his childhood bear, Benny, it's a move that can only end in death. Oh boy, I don't know. Colonel, you're... Eh?
It looks interesting. Yeah, I enjoy a movie about killer pants. Why would I not enjoy a movie about a killer teddy bear? I'm just saying I'm open to it. I'm not expecting the greatest film, but I'm very aware of the fact that I'll be watching a movie about a killer teddy bear. My meter's already pretty low for this fucking movie. It can only go beyond my expectations. So, fuck it. Let's give it a watch. Let's see.
Yeah, you bring up slacks. Yes, it's another inanimate object that comes to life and tries to kill people. Again, I will say this. A doll, a teddy bear, I can get behind more than a fucking pair of pants. Okay?
It's so, be about a pair of pants, man.
Don't start your bullshit again. Ziggy, initial thoughts on Benny Loves You.
That's the spirit, Colonel. I'm that's exactly right. Once you've sit through like Slacks and the Banana Splits and Willy's Wonderland, whatever it's called with Nick Cage, that kind of stuff, the silliness. You expect silliness. You're gonna get silliness. I think this one could be pretty good, though. I mean, I just want the murders. Got a stuffed animal, Muppet murdering somebody. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? And if it's super graphic and violent, it's only going to make it that much fucking cooler. You got something here. You could really make a statement. And this movie's been buzzing around for a couple of years. It's finally hitting the shores where we are. It's been making waves, man. And I think, I don't know anything about it besides that trailer, just like you. If the stabbings are good and the murders are good, this could be ridiculous entertainment resulting in guttural laughter and you name it, man. This is that kind of movie. So I hope I'm right. Just look, it looks absolutely ridiculously dumb, but my kind of dumb. We've been down this road before. I'm looking forward to this one, actually. I'm trying not to give it too much steam here, but you know, I'm a bit excited for this one.
I'm going to surprise you guys a little bit, maybe. I am too. Again, I'm normally not a fan of dumb movies, but this one looks like the right kind of dumb. If they approach the humor the way I expect them to and hope they do with this, I'm going to be on board fully. One thing that makes me think that's possible is there's a shot in the trailer where the Benny doll does that whole Matrix thing, trying to, you know, dodge a flames or something. and he like, woo, ah! And if they go with humor like that, I'm in. And I think that'll be great. Why are you giggling so much, Colonel?
I don't know if it was on purpose. He was like,
yeah. I did. If they go that route, I'm looking forward to this. I think this could be a whole barrel of fun. Now, I have been disappointed before, and I'm hoping that's not the case. So Benny Loves You comes out on video on demand May 7th. Check it out. Let us know what you think. We'll be reviewing it probably in one of our later episodes, so stick around for that. Hey, where do you want to get your horror news from? How about Death Curse Society? Welcome back. We've got some stories around the campfire for you.
I don't want to scare anyone. But I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason.
Hey, come back.
This time on Stories Around the Campfire, we just got a little news for you. Sci-Fi has acquired the remake that we have heard about for Slumber Party Massacre, and that's going to be going along with Chucky coming later this year in 2021. Both of these projects on Sci-Fi. One I'm really excited about, one I'm worried about. Let's discuss it. Ziggy, which one are you looking forward to the most out of these two?
Ooh, yeah. I would say I'm probably looking forward more to Slumber Party Massacre just based on what the original is and the violence that's involved. And, you know, it's a slasher. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course I want to see a slasher. Chucky's Chucky. We know what Chucky is. And obviously we're all stoked that the original team is back for the Chucky series. We'll be all over that, too. But, you know, as a slasher fan, I'm just a hair more excited for the Slumber Party Massacre. And I hope they do it justice and make a nice homage to the original film. Fuck 2 and 3, the original film.
See, we've talked about this already. I do not have high hopes for a remake of Slumber Party Massacre. I just don't. I can't. Ugh, fuck. Colonel, which one are you more excited for? Chucky, Slumber?
Easy. Chucky. The gang's coming back. Got the creator of the fucking series behind it. Now, I'm a little worried about it being an episodic series. I'm curious how it's going to play out, but Zach, listen to yourself. Slumber Party Massacre remake, straight to TV, on Sci-Fi. That spells fucking disaster. Dude, you want blood and guts and gore and practical effects? You ain't going to get it.
No.
You're going to get the...
You ain't going to get it.
You're going to get the fucking CGI on the planet? That's all you're going to get?
You brought the Kentucky out of Colonel.
I know. It's fucking scary.
We're talking... The driller killer, the Sharknado with a drill?
Dude, it's going to be fucking awful. Like, this is my... Dude, three words, all right? Well, actually, two words and a number for you to think about in your mind. And it's not even that great of a horror series. Jeepers Creepers 3. The movie is fucking awful. Don't focus on the shit on the backside of it. Just look at the movie for what it was. It came to Sci-Fi before it hit fucking, you know, DVD and Blu-ray. If they even put it on a fucking Blu-ray, I wouldn't waste a fucking Blu-ray with that fucking movie. It was awful. Like, that's as soon as I heard that that's where the Slumber Party Massacre was fucking going to be.
You guys all forget, I was stoked for that Carpenter remake that will not be named on this show. I was stoked for that, man. I was ready for it. And then, obviously, what happened was I saw it, and now I don't feel the same about that shit anymore. But I'm always going to be excited and stoked to see those classic properties revisited. And I just hope, man, I haven't said this in months, just don't fuck it up, man. Sci-Fi, I don't know what you're going to do. Run it after 10 or 11 p.m. or something, but your guy's going to CGI the shit out of it, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm just seeing it now. I mean, this is going to fucking... I mean, I'm into the Chucky thing. It ain't like I have to pick just one or the other, but I have high hopes. I want to see something good in that Slumber Party Massacre thing. But man, it does seem like a fucking long shot, doesn't it?
I want to as well, but this is like the death knell. Oh, it's going to be released on Sci-Fi. Oh my God. Oh, dang.
Bring out your dead.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to discuss the death of the Slumber Party Massacre reboot.
Bring out your dead!
Here's one.
Nonsense.
I'm not dead.
What?
Nothing. Here's your nine puts.
I'm not dead.
Yeah. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is. I'm not.
That's just how I see it.
I think I'll go for a walk.
You're not fooling anyone, you know. Look, isn't there something you can do?
I feel happy. I feel happy.
Ah, thanks very much. Our job. See you on Thursday.
Right. Right.
You guys are probably right, man. I can't help it. Even when I expect them to suck, there's something in my stomach that makes me excited just to hear that they're going to redo it. Again, Carpenter's film remake that will not be named. Double excitement for that one. I've learned the payoff is, however shitty it is, that's how much more it's going to hurt and hate when you come out of there. So that's why this film can never be named here. Hopefully Slumber Party Massacre will not join those ranks of those other two that we don't talk about here.
Ooh, yeah.
But it could.
We need to start a list.
Okay. Look, sci-fi, I appreciate the fact that you air old movies, old horror movies all the time. I appreciate the fact that you are doing a Chucky series. Thank you. Very nice. I appreciated the fuck out of Channel Zero when you had that a few years back. This, I'm scared. Almost for this. I don't know what else to say about it. Slumber Party Massacre is coming later this year on the Sci-Fi Channel, along with the series Chucky coming to Sci-Fi Channel sometime in 2021. We're going to be all over both things when they drop, maybe even doing slash reports on Chucky. I don't know. Ziggy said it best, though. Don't fuck it up.
They will.
Let us know what you think in the comments. Are you ready? For a Slumber Party Massacre reboot, let's talk.